Sí. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 12, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Lord, rebuke me not in anger, chastened sore I waste away. Pity my distress and hear me. Lord, how long wilt thou delay? And what follows? Psalter 12, the first three stanzas. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Hebrews 12, the verses 1 through 15. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Hebrews 12, the first 15 verses. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence, as shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. And now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Thus far the scripture reading. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Lord, when by renewal on this holy day of rest, the doors of thy house have been opened, and we and our dear children another opportunity to place ourselves under thy word and eternal testimony. And when by renewal with our unclean lips as a people, we attempt to call upon thy most holy name, then each time by renewal, then how necessary to pray with the disciples of old, O Lord, teach us to pray. Profound and deep impressions unto whom we speak, where thou sittest enthroned on high, clothed with majesty, and yet beholdest all the things of the earth. And thou wast promised in thy word, thy special presence and thy special blessing in thy house, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. But also profound impressions of our manifold, of our great needs, it is true, the temporal needs are also manifold, but the needs of our never-dying soul, they are the greatest. And, Lord, with faith to believe that thou art indeed able and willing to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask and think, with profound impressions of our sins, of our unworthiness, but also with that true saving faith, and that thou could only answer through thy dear Son. Lord, thou knowest most perfectly how that each boy and girl, our young people, the middle-aged, and the elderly have come up to thy house, whether there have been souls with particular requests, a little begging and asking of thee for the favor that thou bearest unto thy people, O Lord. May there have come up souls truly unconverted, and then in this afternoon that the unconverted may truly become unconverted, to be given to see their danger, their need, and that one thing needful, O Lord. May it be the hour of thy sovereign good pleasure for the conversion of boys and girls, young people, and older ones. Wilt thou spare that we build not upon sandy foundations? Lord, remember thy people. Thou also knowest how they have come up. Ah, the request can be so general, but it is so needful and so profitable for thy people, particular requests. Ah, may there have come up thirsting and hungering souls, souls with riddles which they cannot unriddle, perplexities, mysterious ways, and yet cannot leave thee alone. Ah, be then a surprising God. Wilt thou grant a little gleaning, the further leadings into the meritorial work of thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we commend this portion of thy vineyard unto thee. Help and remember the consistory. We commend unto thee thy servant who is not feeling well. May it please thee to grant recovery. Grant many Aaron's and hers. We commend unto thee thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth, the established churches. Continue to uphold the persecuted church. So many countries were on this Sabbath day that thy church could not freely gather. Many in prison. Remember the family circles, and, O Lord, what maketh us and our children to differ, that in this evil time, where that spiritual warfare is greatly increasing, that we may still freely come up to thy courts. We commend unto thee the Jewish nation, remove the veil. Remember that country with the country of Ukraine, still at war, with so much distress, so much want. Wilt thou use it for the coming of thy kingdom? We commend unto thee all mission work, also our mission field. Remember Bible translators and those that bring thy holy word to the ends of the earth. Bless thy word that may be placed in the prisons. Remember all the temporal needs. Then by renewal on this day, then we commend a father and mother unto thee, who were blessed with the birth of a little son, a living son, a son with many concerns, a son that had his first surgery, and he needs more, Lord, than we commend him unto thee. May he be as that paralyzed man that was carried by four and that was laid before thee. May he be a little one for thee, for thy honor and for thy glory. Wilt thou continue to uphold the parents with the family circle, where there shall be times that they shall be overwhelmed. May it all come out of thy right hand. We commend unto thee mothers with the unborn, and, Lord, in our family circles, when we all may be healthy and strong, that we take it not all for granted, and that we are given to pause how and wherefore we use our health and strength, whether it is only for the daily needs. May it be given that we may be given to seek thee even early, and thou wast promised that they shall find thee. So we commend unto thee all the mourning ones, elderly ones, afflicted ones, weakness of the body, weakness of the mind. Do bless the family circles with abounding love, and that thy word may have a central place. Remember those that struggle with temptations and with addictions. We commend unto thee our poor country, the leaders federally, provincially, and also the council of this town. Oh, the need of men that have learned to bow their knees and to open thy holy word. And it is written in thy word that the time has come, the judgment must begin at the house of God. O Lord, do turn us from our evil and worldly ways. And now we humbly beg of thee for thy gracious help. Do open thy holy word. Do open our hearts. May thy word go forth with power divine. Go then from bench to bench and from heart to heart. And may the outgoing of this service be for the coming of thy kingdom and the glory of thy name. Pardon us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 123, the three stanzas. If we have forgotten the name of our God, or unto an idol our hands spread abroad, shall not the Almighty uncover the sin? He knows all our hearts and the secrets within. And what follows, Psalter 123, the three stanzas. in this afternoon hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in Hebrews 12, the 11th verse, where God's word and our text reads thus: "And now no chastening for the present, as seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. And nevertheless afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." Our text words speak of godly chastisement with three thoughts. First, the needed discernment. Secondly, the felt grievousness. And thirdly, the peaceable fruits. Godly chastisement, the needed discernment, the felt grievousness, and the peaceable fruits. Beloved hearers, this chapter begins with the words, "Wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." Those words refer to the hearers of faith in Hebrews 11. In Hebrews 11 that follows the 10th chapter, where there is spoken the first chapters of this epistle, and they speak of the priestly office, the preeminence of the priestly office of Christ Jesus for the saving of sinners. And it is written, congregation, in Hebrews 9, verse 25, that he saveth to the uttermost. What a deep and a profound word for poor sinners who have learned by the grace of God in the way of experience that they cannot save themselves, young and old. Have we now learned it? Have we tried to save ourselves? Because we need to be saved. And the Lord, in his goodness, he granted this precious day of grace, as I read in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2, this precious time of grace unto us and our children to be saved. And now it is the work of the Spirit. Oh, when the Lord works, they come under that prophetical ministry, and they choose him to be their king. But now it is so needful that the true child of God is led into that priestly office. And now in chapter 10, there is spoken that the Hebrews, that they were given to suffer much, even the spoiling of their goods. And then in this chapter, after it speaks of looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Oh, the joy of Christ, that was his bride. his black bride, and therefore so willing to pay that dowry nothing less than his precious blood. And now further in this chapter, then the apostle is given to instruct the church, because under that suffering and chastisement, then they were becoming weary. And therefore the admonition in this chapter unto that people, for consider him, that is Jesus, in the way of his suffering as an example, but also as the Savior for his church that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. And then in verse 5, then he is given to remind the church of Christ, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, are you included, congregation? Have you now, by the grace of God, become a son and a daughter? They are described in this word. And it is true, those children, they have many questions, many riddles. And oftentimes they say with a Ruth, in Ruth 2, not as those other handmaidens, but those sons and daughters, they have made that good and precious choice of a Ruth. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Boys and girls, young and old, have you now made that choice? Or are you still choosing for the world and the things thereof? And do you still hope and think that you shall become happy with the things in the world without God? Can never be. And it shall never be. And with all the blessings and the good things that the Lord gives unto us and our children liberally to enjoy, then there shall be a time, boys and girls, how much can we take along at our death? And then you should say nothing. And that is true, written in 1 Timothy 6. And then eternity. Oh, my unconverted fellow travelers, beg earnestly and faithfully use the means of grace, God's house, where the Lord has promised to work in special ways to gather his sons and daughters. Have you asked for it in this afternoon? Have you asked before you came to church whether this service may be the service, boys and girls, that you may receive a new heart? Or have you perhaps forgotten? Or young people, maybe not even expecting that it can or shall happen. The Lord is still gathering the people. The King, by his Spirit, he is gathering those sons and daughters from afar. But now those children, they have many questions, many riddles. Are there a few in my midst? odd that have such riddles, because oftentimes then the Lord leads his people in such mysterious ways. Sometimes it seems to be a roundabout way. Can seem, Peter speaks of a strange way, that those children sometimes think, is there now another one upon the earth? But there are times when they open the scriptures and come up to God's house, then their heart and life is declared, and then they are so happy, so glad, hope revived, and given to beg for those further leadings. But now in our text words, then it speaks of children, says my son, taken out of Proverbs 3 verse 11. Of course, we can understand that includes daughters. And then our text word that is upon, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you, as unto children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. And now chastisement, that is a deep subject. What a suffering there is upon the world. Job, and that book of Job, as a general rule, that receives more value and is read more often by people who were mourning and who were suffering. And now concerning the suffering upon the world, Job has written in Job 14 verse 1, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. And in chapter 5, as the sparks fly upward, and Moses, the man of God, in Psalm 90 verse 10, that there is much strength and much sorrow. Of course, a suffering and trials in our life, that in itself is not a mark of grace, because I read in Ecclesiastes 9 verse 2 that all things come alike to all, one event to the righteous and to the wicked. And if we visit hospitals, there we shall find atheists and people that want nothing to do with God or his word. There we shall find religious people, also people of God. Thus let us not make the mistake, congregation, when the Lord sends special trials and afflictions, and it is a blessing that it may bring us much in our knees, that it leaveth us not cold, but in itself not a mark of grace. When we consider afflictions, then we must word it this way: the Lord punishes the unconverted, and the Lord chastises his children. And now concerning those two children, it can also be, congregation, that when the Lord works, when he begins that good work, and the Lord in the beginning grants us a smooth way outwardly, that he sends not many trials, then such a soul can even be troubled, because they read in the scriptures of the people in the furnace of affliction, 10 days of tribulation, and then they can be assaulted that they must not be a child of God. But we must never ask for trials. Then a good question to put to us all, concerning the goodness and the mercies of the Lord, and how good the Lord is. Do we ever become smaller under? Or under all this goodness, all his mercies, can you still continue on your way without God and without a Savior? Day after day and week after week, without ever receiving a humble and a broken heart, with a vehement desire that the Lord may be honored. Thus the question, and that is a mark of a true child, and it is true. Those children, they have many bitter things to write against themselves. Naughty children, boys and girls. But now the question for each and every one of us, whether the goodness and the trials of life, because we cannot remain the same. 2 Corinthians 2, the verses 15 and 16. A savor of life unto life, or a savor of death unto death. Where does it now bring us? Further from the word, from the Lord, or closer to his word? It's a good touchstone by which to examine ourselves. I read in John 1, verse 22, that the leaders came to John the Baptist with a question, what sayest thou of thyself? How is that now with you? What sayest of thyself? Have we become a son, a daughter? Has that wonder of grace now taken place? Has it become different? Longings and desires for the living God, with profound impressions of the exceeding sinfulness of sin, which causes that separation and a seeking after the living God. What sayest thou of thyself? We need by grace to become a child. Oh, in our deep fall, there we have given our hand to the devil, and we have become his followers. That's an awful thing, congregation. And if we are not delivered, oh, then we shall spend a whole eternity in hell with the devil and all the wicked, mockers, blasphemers, all kinds of people. What sayest thou of thyself? What sayest your family, the neighbors? Because when the Lord works, then it becomes evident. Christ has said in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew 5, the Matthew 7, the verses 16 through 20, by their fruits ye shall know them. But now the most important question, what sayest God of thee? He knows most perfectly. In this afternoon, boys and girls, young people, nothing hidden. He knows what lives in our heart. And have we now been enabled, notwithstanding all our sin and all our guilt and all our riddles, the mysterious ways also concerning chastisement, there were times that we could say, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And now concerning chastisement, both in the Hebrew and in the Greek language, there is a word for chastisement and discipline that also means to be instructed. Thus, that tells already much about chastisement. And now concerning discipline, and then boys and girls and young people, you must think along. Then I have two questions concerning discipline. Do we like discipline? And not only to boys and girls, to all of us. On account of our deep fallen Adam, because of that perverse will, our pride, and wanting to be kings, then we are enemies of discipline, although for our good. Family circles, in school, in church, and in country. But the Lord, in his goodness and wisdom, has given natural fathers, church fathers, school fathers, and it can be multiplied out. But now the second question, boys and girls. Do you think it is good when there is discipline? And then I think that you shall have to say, it is necessary and very good. To make it plain for our young people, because when we grow up, when we become more independent young people, I hope there are many times that you may be given to pause and consider the blessing that you have parents that care and love so much for you, that love you, care so much for you, that they set rules and guidelines. Would be possible in this past night, early in the morning, that even in the town of Fort McLeod, we would have found worldly young people, because young people, you can understand that we do not belong on the streets. And of course, before the Sabbath day, that we are home well on time. But then it would be possible that we have found some young people, worldly young people, drunk, drugs. And if we had asked them, what are you doing on the streets? Oh, maybe a few that they have said they were rebellious. But then undoubtedly, We maybe would meet young people in different cities that would tell us scars from our youth, broken families, bitterness, divorce. I wish that I had a father and mother that cared for me, that have told me I must be home. Thus we all know that chastisement must be in love. And of course there are no perfect fathers and mothers, but the Lord chastises perfectly, that it is needful and that it is profitable. And so it is in the life of the true child of God. Why does the Lord now chastise and send trials in the life of his people? We have heard it, because in the verses 5 through 11, that word chastisement is mentioned 7 times. And the Lord is so free and sovereign. There are times that the Lord in his sovereignty, that he sends trials in the life of his children, not because of a major sin. And then we think of that God-fearing Job. This written of him in the first verse of his book, "And there was a man, the land of Uz, whose name was Job, a perfect man, one that feared God and eschewed evil." And the Lord in his sovereignty has sent deep trials. There can be times when the Lord sends trials in our life and suffering, because Solomon in his prayer at the dedication of the temple has stated that each one must bear his own sorrow and his own grief. And I read in the Lamentations of Jeremiah in chapter 1, verse 12, "Is it nothing to you that pass by? Behold, and see if there be a sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord has afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. But for the children of men, how deep that the way is." Then, as a general rule, there are those that are called upon to go a deeper way, except one. He could truly say, "Behold, and see if there be a sorrow like unto my sorrow." And that was the beloved Son of God, where he has bore the wrath of his Father against the sins of his people. The Lord is sovereign. He at times afflicts and tries his people, tries their faith, as I read in 1 Peter 1, the verses 6 and 7, that the gold is put into the furnace, that the Lord may show unto the world Daddy has a people that serve him not in the first place for the gifts or heaven, but that they serve him for himself. And in that way of trial, then they are uncovered more and more to themselves. It's taken place in the life of Job. Oh, in chapter 3, the day of his birth, spoken unadvisably. There are times that the Lord chastises or sends trials in the life of his people for their own good. Usually at the time they do not understand it, what a grace it is. It is the greatest grace for a child of God to let God be God. But oftentimes in the way of reflection, then a child is given to see that the Lord has sent those trials to keep them from much sin, many a temptation, and also from pride. Think of Paul in 2 Corinthians 12, taken up into the third heaven, seeing astonishing things, and lest that he be lifted up with pride. Lord, as a people, that is much trouble with pride. An old father has said it was the first sin and the last sin to be laid in the grave. But now to keep Paul from pride, then a messenger of Satan was given permission. It's all in permission, also the trials which the Lord sends unto his people. And oh, what a precious text for those true children. Romans 8 verse 28, for we know that all things, and that includes trials and afflictions, that all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. But now concerning chastisement that concerns sin. And then we are not speaking of the infirmities of the flesh, the weakness of the flesh. James is written in James 3 verse 2 that in many things that we offend all. And now for those true sons and daughters, concerning chastisement, then it is needful that they are given to know the reason. Job, in Job 10 verse 2, he has asked the Lord, wherefore contendest thou with me? And in Micah 6 verse 9, then we read those profound words, hear the rod, and who has appointed it. And then on that rod, then there is a message written. And then for the profit of true sons and daughters, then they need to be enabled to read what is written on that rod. I think our boys and girls can understand it. If fathers and mothers, if they discipline their children, oh, there are times that boys and girls do not have to be told when you've done something very wrong. But if you were disciplined and you do not really know the reason, then it shall not be profitable. And therefore, for the child of God, there are those times that the child clearly knows the reason. There are children of God which can tell you the place and the time where they have experienced the displeasure and frown of the Lord. And then we are speaking of special sins. We have the examples in the Bible. Think of David, sweet psalmist of Israel, the man after God's heart that has experienced such wonderful things, and by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit has written such comforting psalms. Then a David, oh, how necessary the prayer. Psalm 17, verse 5, hold up my goings in thy ways, that my footsteps slip not. When opportunity and desire meet, and we are not kept, then we fall. Oftentimes the Lord is so good that perhaps when there is desire, there's not opportunity. And on the other hand, when there's opportunity, then the Lord removes the desire. When David has taken Bathsheba, killed Uriah, then he knew the reason why it has become so dark, the Lord's frown. Psalm 32, of those broken bones, the children of Israel, when on account of unbelief, they could not enter the promised land, they knew why they have wandered for 38 more years in the wilderness. What is so necessary for the church of God? A close, a dependent, and a prayerful life. But oftentimes, the Lord chastises his people for their backslidden condition. Let us first sing. Psalter 102, the first four stanzas. In thy wrath and hot displeasure, chasten not thy servant, Lord. Let thy mercy without measure, help and peace to me of Ford, and what follows Psalter 102, the first four stanzas. Concerning special sins. And then in the first verse of this chapter we read, of the sin which does so easily beset us. When it may be tender in the lives of the true children of God, then when they are given to bow their knees, when they come in the presence of the Lord, then that special sin shall rise up against them. And let us remember that the Lord is jealous of His honor. And I read in Isaiah 43 verse 21, this people have I formed for myself, and they shall show forth my praise. And more so, the Lord shall chastise His child severely. When it was as with a David, and when a Nathan has come to David in 1 Samuel 12, and then in verse 14, that David has given great reasons that the name of the Lord would be blasphemed among the enemies of the Lord. But oftentimes, it is on account of backsliding in the life of a child of God. Think of Revelations 2 and 3, of Ephesus, the church which had left their first love, the church of Laodicea at the end of Revelations 3, not cold, not hot, but they have become lukewarm. Church of God, when we read the scriptures, the biography, autobiographies of those in former generations, what they were willing to suffer, what they were willing to endure, how they were given to stand steadfast, then how ashamed we must be. And now concerning backsliding, we read that term 7 times in the book of Jeremiah. And what is now a backsliding church? Still a church with form and duty. A church with a reformed confession. Contemplations of the truth. But the life has gone out of it. Not so tender, not so dependent, not so prayerful. Oh, oftentimes, when the child may be given to reflect upon how it was in the beginning, needed the Lord for everything. Profound impressions of sin, of death, eternity, begging for tokens of the favor of the Lord. Such a jealousy for that true people. Needed the Lord for the smallest matters. And how is it today? Thus not that tender life, not so exercised with God's glory and with the coming of his kingdom. Ah, they are not that dove, that warning dove. Many times those true doves, they write bitter things against themselves, but they are doves that are given to mourn, doves that cannot leave the Lord on their place. Oh, those doves who were given to hearken, cleft of the rock, secret places of the stairs, have misused their liberty, but they have hearkened, oh my dove, that art in the cleft of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs. Let me see thy countenance and hear thy voice, for thy voice is sweet, and thy countenance is comely. But for a backsliding church, then that dove is not the mourning dove, the desiring dove. They have come in a backslidden condition, and then the Lord in his love, because that is a mark, we have heard it. If we are a son and daughter in the wrong place, not so exercised, not so lively, not conformable to the image of Christ, not so profitable for self and profitable for the Lord's kingdom, then we have heard it when there is no chastisement. Then we are not a true son and daughter of the Almighty. What a work that the King, that the Good Shepherd has concerning the living child. And now for those true sons and daughters, then there are those times that they are given to be wonder, that the Lord is yet so patient with them, and that the Lord grants them so many a blessing. To say it simply, boys and girls, because those sons and daughters, they come on the school of King Jesus, and they are such slow learners and much to unlearn and much to relearn. And then there are times that it becomes a wonder that the Lord does not send them away. And when a child may come in that place, when they are given to see the need, the profit of chastisement, then they are already on the road to return. many reasons why the Lord chastises his child can be the first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. A young couple was married on Friday. Is that also a struggle at times with boy and girlfriends, husbands and wives, parents and children? That first commandment, that they receive the first place in our life instead of the Lord. Then we also do well to examine ourselves whether a boy or girlfriend, husband and wife, children, whether that brings us closer to his word, or whether it is reason that we depart further from the word. Father Jacob had to miss his beloved Joseph, and understandable. What a blessing when in family circles there may be sons and daughters as a Joseph, exercised with the things of the Lord to receive a promise. Then we can understand that there were special bonds between Jacob and Joseph, but thou shalt have no other gods before me. When the child is taken too much up with the things of the world, 'tis such a narrow way, how needful for the living church of Jesus Christ to be often on their knees and to be given to ask the Lord that he may take his church by heart and by hand and instructed. 'Tis so needful for the child of God to be led further, to be led into the mysteries of salvation, and to need Christ, that he becomes necessary, suitable and precious in his threefold office, as prophet to teach, always that high priest who saves to the uttermost, but also as the king to reign over us. Now no chastisement seemeth joyous for the present time, seemeth joyous but grievous. But afterwards it beareth, yieldeth the peaceable fruits to them that are exercised thereby. And that is the separating word. Have we become exercised with the things of the Lord? Has it become reality, God, our sin, judgment, and eternity? Has the Lord shed that love abroad in the heart? Oh, if it has not taken place, oh, beg the Lord, faithfully use the means of grace, and ask the Lord that you may be enrolled on a school, that you may become a pupil, and always to remain a pupil. But now, those last words to them that are exercised thereby, that separates the precious from the vile. There is much religion. We have not fallen out of a religion congregation. Adam and Eve, they have clothed themselves with fig leaves. But now that true people of the Lord, they learn more and more that it is grace and all of grace with a vehement desire that he may be honored and glorified. To them that are exercised thereby in the way of trials, of suffering and affliction, there can be much emotion, much religion, many tears, answers upon prayer, but in itself, not a mark, not the foundation. But now the Lord, as a people upon the earth, concerning that chastisement, that it becomes a teaching, that they become exercised. We must leave it lie in this afternoon, but to become more exercised with the Lord, with the triune God, with his honor and the coming of his kingdom. Amen. Let us close. Lord, may each and every one return to their home with an examination concerning those last words to them that are exercised thereby. Word is missing. Wilt thou graciously grant it? Wilt thou grant those further leadings? May we be found to be more a praying and a begging people at thy throne of grace. We may commence another week. May we be given to keep the Sabbath day holy. Wilt thou graciously watch over us in the home? Help the mothers at home with the children, at work on the way, and then by renewal. Then we commend unto thee the little infant child, together with his parents and family circle. May we be given to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ, Lord. Bind us as families, as churches, closer to thy word and to thy testimony. Wilt thou convert us and our children as thou doth convert all thy people? Grant no traveling mercies. Pardon us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 440, the stanzas 2 and 3. Will the Lord cast off forever ties of covenant friendship sever? Will he show his face no more? as he did in days of yore, and what follows Psalter 440, the stanzas 2 and 3. blessing of the Lord and the pardon peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Bless you.